The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Once again, picking up where we left off, talking about how love stinks when we try to do it without God. When we try to have families, live life, have relationships, love each other, do all those things that we're born to do and that we desire to do. But without God, basically, we can't do it. It's horrible. It stinks. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to talk about this topic. You know, it seems like every 6 weeks or every 6 weeks out of every year, we spend talking about the family and we spend talking about marriages and about raising your kids right and parenting, all those things. And we decided that we were going to extend our Love Stinks series a little bit so that we can get a little more out of it because we felt like the time between Mother's Day and Father's Day just wasn't quite long enough for us to really dig in deep and get all the things that God had for us in this series. So hope you don't mind. We're continuing with Love Stinks, and we'll continue through the summer, and I think God is going to speak to us. So one of the reasons that love stinks in our homes is because we're unsatisfied with our relationships. We're constantly looking for fulfillment in our families, in our marriages, and it seems like no matter how hard we try, because we're trying it on our own, but it seems like no matter how hard we try, it's like the Rolling Stones say, we just can't get no satisfaction. Okay, so if you thought having Love Stinks in your head was a bad song to be humming after church, let's see how people feel about that one. Go home and have dinner with a friend or lunch with a friend and see where that tune came from. We'll have some explaining to do. Not getting into any of the details of the song or the meaning behind the song, because I know there's many different interpretations, but we're all thinking the same thing when it comes to Mick Jagger, I believe. We can't get no satisfaction. So the idea is that all of us are striving to find fulfillment and to find satisfaction in our marriages, in our families. And how can we do that? Because many times we come up empty-handed. We feel like at times we feel like we're giving and we're not getting. We feel like the family is just not meeting the needs that we have. And maybe if you're in a relationship with somebody and it's brand new, it's like everything's perfect, it's great, it's like you're completely satisfied with that person, but then down the road, something happens and you're like, you know, this isn't the way I thought it would be. Kind of like our series says that happily ever after ending is just doesn't seem like it's within your reach. And so we're going to be talking about what it means to have that satisfaction. And so we'll be looking at 1 John 2. 15 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip over to 1 John. It'll also be on the screen for you as well, so you won't have to have it in front of you if you don't. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Let's read the passage, and then we'll ask God to show us the things he has for us this morning. Verse 15, it says, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Father, thank you, first of all, that we know in advance, we don't even have to continue on from this moment without the knowledge that you desire for us to live fulfilled lives. And we know that that is only found in living a life in pursuit of you and of your Son, Jesus. And so I pray this morning, as we look at this passage, that you would open our eyes, God, that the things that you have for us this morning, we wouldn't miss it, God, that we would be attentive to your word, and that we would just have a clearer understanding of what it means to be satisfied in you. Thanks, God. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So just from the onset, looking at this passage, the first thing that I notice is this. Worldly satisfaction squeezes out love, God's love specifically. Worldly satisfaction squeezes out God's love. What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 15. What does it say? It says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So we're talking about two different loves here. It says when you have a love for the world, then God's love or a love for God is not a part of your life. The two things are not fitting in the same space. Matter of fact, the two different words we have here, the first, the definition for love is to acquiesce with satisfaction or to accept something with satisfaction. In other words, to be okay with something. So your love for the world, if you're seeking that satisfaction, that okay feeling, that fulfillment in the world, there's no room for God's love. God's love, which is described as a self-denying, unconditional love. A self-denying, unconditional love. See, seeking satisfaction in the world robs your home of a love for God. Worldly satisfaction and godly love cannot coexist. What do I mean by that? They can't be in the same place at the same time. Last week, I remodeled our shower at our house, and it was a big, terrible, horrible job. When I got into it, I was thinking, I'll spend, you know, 2 or 3 days on this, and it'll come out beautiful. And I spent like 39 hours on the stinking shower, okay, remodeling it, trying to get everything right. It was a huge project, way, way bigger than I could handle by myself. And so I'd called a couple friends to help me. I had one friend that was putting in a few hours helping me out, doing some of the stuff that I didn't know how to do or that I wasn't sure if I was doing right. And then the last day, I called my friend Kirk up, and I was like, dude, it's the last day. This thing is not done. My wife is coming home. Oh, I didn't mention that part. My wife was out of town, and this was a surprise. Okay? So, by the way, this is for future reference. For those of you that ever are thinking about remodeling a shower, a bathroom, a room in your house, anything. Okay? The dirtiness, the dust, all of that it does not contain itself to the room that you're working on. Okay? Our entire house, I cleaned the house 4 nights in a row. Everything. I mean, I'm picking up things in my house and vacuuming. I'm like vacuuming picture frames in my house because there was dirt, dust everywhere. It was crazy. So the last day, I call up my friend Kirk. I'm like, dude, you've got to help me out. I'm not ready. I'm not finished with the shower. I have all this stuff I need to do, and my wife is going to be coming home. I don't even know what time. That was the worst thing about it. I had no idea what time Debbie was coming home. Originally, she was supposed to come home in the evening, and then she had called me and said, hey, I'm thinking about coming in the morning. And I wanted to say, no! But I was like, oh, it's really hot down here, sweetie. I think you should stay up in San Diego a couple more days. And so I had no idea when she was going to arrive. So he comes down, and he's working on the shower. We're finishing up. We're caulking the shower, trying to get it all finished. And I'm not a small person. I'm not petite, okay? My friend Kirk, he's not petite. He's short, but he's stocky. So me and him, I was actually going to start out this story by saying I spent the entire afternoon in the shower with another man, but I didn't think that would sound right. It still doesn't sound right, but now you know the context. So me and Kirk in the shower, that just was not working, okay? I mean, we were like, every time one of us moved, we were like, oh, sorry, we're like trying not to touch each other's bodies, but it was impossible. We had to like bend over to do stuff, and we're like, oh, hey, sorry. But standing against the shower, it was horrible. And we finally got the thing all done, but the whole time I'm thinking, this shower is not made for two burly guys. This just is not going to happen. We didn't fit in the same small space at the same time. Now, I don't want you to miss the picture and it to be lost in my story. Here's the thing. God's love for us and our love for the world are not going to fit in the same spot. They're too big. They take up too much space. They're too bulky. There is no way that you can have a love for the world and have a love for God at the same time. It just can't happen. It doesn't fit in. Your soul, your spirit is too small of a place to have both of those things going on at the same time. Does that make sense? And so right at the onset, we need to understand that if we're going to have a love for the world, in other words, we're going to be trying to seek satisfaction in the world, then we are literally squeezing God's love out of our lives. It's like God's love has to step out of the shower because our love for the world has contained the entire space. It's important for us to understand that. Matthew Henry says this about our love for the world. He says, the world draws the heart from God. And the more the love of the world prevails, the more the love of God decays. That's it. If you're wondering why you're not finding satisfaction in your marriage, if you're wondering why you're not satisfied with your family, maybe the first place to look is where your affection is. Is your affection towards God or is your affection towards the things of this world? And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy the things of this life, but what I am saying is if the satisfaction that you're looking for to fill your heart and your soul, if you're trying to find that in the world, you're literally squeezing God's love out of your marriage, out of your family, out of your home. That's what we're talking about this morning. Paul puts it like this in Romans 12, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you want to have satisfaction, it's not going to be found in the desires that the world offers you. If you're chasing satisfaction in the world, you're going to come up empty-handed every time. And so I challenge you and encourage you to find your satisfaction in God. Because if you're seeking your satisfaction in God, the love of God is in you. And it's in your family. And there's going to be a huge difference. The second thing that I see here, not only does worldly satisfaction squeeze God's love out, but also it leaves you hungry. It leaves you hungry for more. You can't be entirely satisfied by the world. Look what it says in verse 16. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. This word craving, the Greek word is epithumia. It means a desire, a yearning, a longing, an inward passion. This craving that we're talking about. You know, the world, in this verse, I see a craving being talked about, but I don't see a satisfaction being talked about. Because the world just offers us a craving. As a matter of fact, the world increases the craving that we already have. And it doesn't offer any sort of satisfaction or appeasement for that craving. It's kind of like, do you remember the old Lay's slogan? I don't know if they still have that same slogan, the bet you can't eat just one. Okay, I'm more of a Doritos guy myself, but I think of Lay's when I think of not being able to get that satisfaction. Here, beautifully illustrated by a potato chip company. Unsatisfied craving. You taste a little bit of what the world has to offer you, and it just incites that craving that you have. I put it like this. Pursuing worldly satisfaction only increases our natural craving without offering any release or true appeasement. It just grows. That happens when I eat Doritos. If someone does not physically take a bag of Doritos away from me, I will eat that whole bag because I'm just like, I got to have one more. And that's the way the world is. It's like, we've got to have one more. It's like, we've got to have one more experience. We didn't find fulfillment and satisfaction. It's almost like the world brought us right up to the edge of being satisfied and then drew away from us again. And so we keep going back for it and trying to find that satisfaction in us, but we can't find it. And there's actually a pattern. There's actually a pattern that we see when we are seeking satisfaction in the world. It's illustrated in this verse. Look again at verse 16. I'll show you the pattern here. The first part is this. It says, the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. We call this the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Or the appetite for indulging the things that ignite and inflame sensual pleasure. Okay, the lust of the flesh. Anytime we're trying to seek pleasure in our flesh. The second thing is this. It says, a craving for everything we see. This is called the lust of the eyes. Overwhelming affection for wealth or possessions, also known as covetousness. And then the third part of this pattern is the pride of life. It says, pride in our achievements and possessions. Pride of life is a thirst after recognition and applause, seeking self-promotion and self-glory. Do you see these? Do you see the world offering you these things? Let me just say this. I think in a typical day of watching television, I think that the ads will appeal to every one of these. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Anything that's self-improvement. Have you ever just sat and you just can't stop watching one of those infomercials? Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you're just too lazy to get up and change the channel? But you're just, the remote's on the coffee table, you're like, eh. And so you just get drawn into it. And you're watching the infomercial, and as it keeps going, you start to get a little bit interested. And you're like, yeah, I think I need one of those. Yeah, I could use an electric razor for the shower. Yeah, I don't shave my legs, but it's cool. It comes a little place you can hang in your shower. And so you watch the entire infomercial. You feel like you've committed yourself so much to that all of a sudden you're like, I've watched the entire infomercial. Now the only logical thing to do is to pull my credit card out and make a phone call, right? And then the guy comes on. He's like, make that call now. The first caller or gets this, or call within the next 3 minutes, and you're like, I've got to call now. There's like this sense of urgency. What's happening? All these things are being appealed to in you. Okay, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All these things are being attacked, or you're being attacked from these three different angles. And this is nothing new, my friends. It's not like the enemy came up with this plan all of a sudden. He's been working, so long to try to trick us, and all of a sudden he's like, you know what, I think I got this figured out. They're going to fall for this every time. No, this plan has been around for forever. Matter of fact, in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 6, the first man and woman are perfect. They have not done anything wrong. And look what happens in Genesis 3, 6. They're given one command, don't eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And what happens? It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, there we have the lust of the flesh, pleasing to the eye, there we have the lust of the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, there we have the pride of life. What does she do? She took some and ate it. So even from the very beginning, the first time that man disobeys God and sins, it goes through these three channels. And so this is nothing new. But now that you know this, and they say knowing is half the battle, I believe that we can begin to defend ourselves against these things. And we do that, first of all, by protecting the things that we hear, or protecting ourselves from the things that we hear. Okay? There are certain filters that we can install in us to make sure that we're blocking those things out. There's certain things that we will not watch because we know it's going to appeal to our flesh. It's going to appeal to the lust of the eyes. there's certain things that we have to say no to because we know it just appeals to our pride way too much. And so we have to guard ourselves. We have to protect ourselves because we know the weapons that the enemy is going to use against us. And we know it works. We know that Adam and Eve fell because of it. And ever since then, we've all been just kind of wandering around in the dark. And so we know that it's going to happen so we can defend ourselves against these things. Galatians 5:19, it says, when you follow the desire of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. It's like those are going to be the end results every time you allow yourself to pursue the desires that are within you, your own natural desires. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What does it mean to make no provision? It means don't allow it. Don't allow it to happen at all. Now, I remember as a kid, we used to have campfires, and we would be out, you know, in the wilderness somewhere camping. Hopefully our fire that we had was legal. But I remember when it would get down to where it was time for us to get back in our tents and it was time for the fire to go out, I remember we would try to extend the night a little bit by throwing a little more wood on the fire. You know, like, hey, Dad, what's that? You know, throwing wood on the fire, trying to keep the fire going because we're like, as long as there's wood there, the flames are going to raise and the fire is never going to die out. But Dad was pretty smart and he was wise to us. And he would always tell us, you throw one more thing on the fire and I'm throwing you on the fire. Now, he wouldn't say that, but. But we knew that all we had to do was feed that fire and the flames were going to keep going higher. And the truth is, Satan knows the exact same thing about us. He knows exactly what we get excited about. He knows exactly what incites that spark and that flame in us. And so by making no provision, we're not allowing any more fuel to go on that fire. We're actually putting stops in our lives so that we can prevent those things from coming in. Because what's going to happen? We're just going to be left hungry for more. We're going to be left hungrier. So not only does worldly satisfaction squeeze out God's love in our relationships and our families, and not only does it leave us hungry for more, it's unsatisfying, but also, listen to this, a God-pleasing life satisfies us eternally. If we have a life that is in pursuit of pleasing God, we're going to be eternally satisfied. And when I say eternally satisfied, I mean from this moment forward. You know, so many times we think about our faith in God as being something where the rewards are way, way in the future. And I don't want to take anything away from that because I know that the future that God promises us is incredible. I know that the future that God promises us in heaven is going to be amazing beyond our wildest imagination. But the truth is, we can have peace and satisfaction in God right now, at this very moment in our lives. That satisfaction, that fulfillment in our lives can begin now and continue on through eternity. It's not like one day we're in God's presence and we're like, oh, this is what it's like to be satisfied. No, God wants us to have that satisfaction now. He wants us to experience what it means to truly be fulfilled in Him. Look at verse 17. It says, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. This world is fading away. Now, I'm reading this passage, and I'm thinking, okay, the world is fading away. Yeah, the ozone layer is being depleted. You know, the ice caps are melting. No. But I'm trying to think, okay, what's it talking about? The world fading away. Well, the world, actually, the word here is not world the way we think of it. The word here is ion, and it means this current age or span of time. And it basically means your lifetime, the amount of time that you have on earth, the amount of time that your physical body and soul and spirit are exposed to the things of this world. That's what's fading away. The time is drifting. And it says, anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You know, so many people are all about, you know, how can I make my life last longer? What things can I do to make myself more healthy so I can possibly live as long as I can? When instead, they should be concentrating on How can I allow myself to live forever? How can I equip myself? How can I be able to live for eternity? And that answer is only found in Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've never experienced a relationship with Jesus, you've never experienced his forgiveness, and you have not stepped into the family of God, then you are in for a very short time. You have this time on earth to enjoy, and after that, separation from God forever. And we don't even know what it would be like to be separated from God. And so the reality is we need right now to be thinking about eternal things. We need to be thinking about our eternal future. And God is saying, you can have that eternity with me if you simply trust your faith in my son, Jesus. And so that satisfaction can happen even right now and continue on through eternity. I put it like this: godly living brings satisfaction that begins now and lasts through eternity. My son Josiah likes to chew gum and swallow it. Yeah, and so we're trying to figure out how can we get him just to chew it and enjoy the flavor and then spit it out when it lost its flavor. But no, he figures, I got all the flavor out of it, nothing else to do but swallow it. So we got some Big League Chew. And we have any fans of Big League Chew? I like Big League Chew because you know, it's in strings, you know, you put it in your mouth and you can put, like, you know, instead of taking one stick of gum, which sometimes doesn't seem like it's enough, with Big League Chew, you can, like, get a handful of gum and just cram it in your mouth, and then you got all this flavor just filling your mouth, and saliva's dripping out, you know, and you're like, oh, I put just the right amount in, you know, convince yourself of that. But the thing about Big League Chew is that it loses its flavor so fast. So we're chewing it. It's like, oh, this is delicious, delicious. Oh, it's starting to taste like my tongue. You know, and so eventually you spit it out. Well, my son, he starts chewing it as soon as it starts to lose flavor, or actually, I think before it loses flavor is when he swallows it. And so he was just kind of putting the Big League Chew and just chew, 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 swallow it. And I'm like, dude, don't, what are you doing? Are you swallowing it? He's like, I'm trying not to. It's just so good. I don't know if this is true, because we're always looking for that gum that's going to last the longest, right? Someone said that Stride gum is like the best and that it'll just last forever. So I'm going to try that out, because we're always looking for that experience that's going to, if we're enjoying something, we want it just to continue on and on forever and ever. That's why roller coasters, we get so pumped up and excited about them, and then like 30 seconds later we're like, ah, all the thrill's gone. We're like, let's get in line again. It was worth the 2-hour wait. We got to experience it. We want our fun experiences, our good experiences to go on forever. And that experience that you have of being satisfied and fulfilled in God can go on forever. And it can profoundly affect your family. Your family can be affected by your satisfaction in God is something that can well over into your family. If you don't believe it, you've got to try it. Your family can be transformed if just you are satisfied in God, because that is going to leak all over all the other family members. That's why I say a God-pleasing life satisfies eternally. It's that long-lasting flavor that we're all looking for, that we're all longing for. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And he goes on in verse 11 and 12, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we hear a verse like that and we're like, yes, yes, God, I want my life to be righteous. I want it to be godly. I want it to be full of faith, love, endurance, gentleness. I want all those things. And we think of it as all these things that we have to gather to ourselves, like as if they're individual units that we have to go out and collect. Okay, I can get goodness here, I can get faith here, I can get patience, I can get endurance. But the truth is, God gives all of that in one package. Those aren't separate gifts that God's listing out. He's saying, no, if you invite me into your life, if you invite me into your home, this is what you get. You get all of this stuff. And so for us, for our families to be transformed, to be made new, to make a difference, all we have to do is invite God to be a part of it. Stop seeking satisfaction in the things of the world and begin seeking satisfaction in God. And God brings along all of those other things. It's just a big package deal, and we all love package deals, right? If we didn't, Costco would go out of business, okay? Because you can go to Costco, and I was going to say you could buy enough paper towels to last you for a month, but usually it lasts us like, I don't know, it seems like a week, you know? We just burn our way through paper towels. I don't think we maybe eat paper towels or something at our house, but the truth is that God offers us something that lasts forever, and we get the entire package. It's not just like God gives us a little piece, and then we're like, we're hungry for more. God, give us more. God says, no, I want to give it to, all of it to you so that you can have it all at once. We're the ones that limit God. We're the ones that say to God, I've got enough, God. We put up our hand. We were eating at Olive Garden a few weeks ago, and you know, every employee at Olive Garden is like armed with a cheese grater. It's like a cheese grater gun. Have you seen it? You know what I'm talking about? It's like you move and they pull it out. Put cheese on that. They come over and they're like, say when. And I like cheese. And so when they start doing that, I'm just like, yeah, keep going. Is your arm getting tired? Keep going. Come on. Put it on there. Finally, I'm like, okay, you can stop. I can't see the person in front of me. Mountain of cheese, you know. But here's the thing. We're the one that limits God. God, and I don't want you to think that God is out there just trying to give us everything we want like some Santa Claus, okay? But the truth is that if you're pursuing a life that is pursuing godliness, and if you're seeking satisfaction in God, God has an endless supply, okay? God continues to pour out on you. He continues to offer to you. And we are the ones that limit God. We're the ones that tell God, no, stop, I don't want anymore. Because we start looking around, and we start seeing what other people are doing, what other people have, and what the world has to offer us. And we're like, I wonder if that's as good as what God has. And the truth is, even though we go experience it and we end up more hungry, we end up dissatisfied, it's like we still want to go after it. Why? Because it's our sin nature. And so we have to constantly be guarding ourselves and protecting our lives from the things that are going to steal away the satisfaction that only God brings. And so I encourage you, if you are here this morning and you would describe your home, your marriage, your family as being a dissatisfied place, a place where you're not finding fulfillment, I challenge you to look here first, to look to God to bring that satisfaction that can only come from Him. And it's a satisfaction that begins now the moment you begin seeking, and it lasts throughout eternity. I challenge you to do that. One more verse, Galatians 5:24. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. This beautiful description of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And understand that when Jesus died on the cross for us, He did that so that we could be free from all those things in this world that are unsatisfying. So that we can be free from even our own sin nature, which is constantly seeking satisfaction in places elsewhere. And so I invite you, and I encourage you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and the answer to that question about whether or not you find satisfaction in your family, maybe the answer is no. Maybe you're like, no, I'm not satisfied. I don't find that satisfaction in my home. And the truth is, you're looking for it in the wrong place. You're looking for it from a person. You're looking to yourself to try to bring that about in your own strength. And the truth is, God wants you to look to Him. God wants you to look to Jesus. First of all, understand that Jesus already paid the price so that you can live in this freedom that Christ offers. He already paid that price. He died on the cross for you. He gave His life for you so that you could be free from that dissatisfied emptiness that the world offers. So understand that first. And then secondly, understand that the next step that you need to do is just begin to pursue that satisfaction in God. And that means that you're going to have to spend some time with God, that you're going to find out what exactly it is that God has to offer you that is so satisfying and so fulfilling. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. I promise you that if you begin down that path of seeking satisfaction in God, you will not be disappointed. You will never want to backtrack and go the other way, because the satisfaction that God offers you is real, and it's fulfilling, and it lasts forever.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.